If you're talking about it, so are we. The Talk of the Town with Mark Piersma, replacing water coolers all across the Mohawk Valley. And now, back to the show.
B95.5 FM, WTQ, 624-0870. I got something on my mind, and it's Tim Julian. How you doing, Tim?
Hey, Mark. How are you? Good morning.
Good. So what you been up to? You've been out of office for a while. A lot of people want to know what TJ's doing.
It's 3 years, 3 months now I've been out of office. So, yeah, just, relaxing, working. My ace card was always the fact that I didn't rely on my political office to make a living, and that where I could make decisions that wouldn't mean if I was in office or out of office, I still made a living. I still was able to feed my family and all those good things that we need to do.
Yeah.
So with that, I was able to, many people say be a little caustic, a little bit like a bull in a china shop, what have you. But at the same time, I think it's necessary. I think people need to raise questions. I never had a problem with people coming out with discourse against something or mm-hmm. for something. Because I always felt as though I had the proper answers necessary to answer the questions, and I think that's the something that's been missing is the fact that I think leadership in general has been missing for the last 3 years. And whether you liked the way I did things or didn't like the way I did things, I was there to back up what I was doing and why I was doing it, and not just come up with canned answers that may have been prepped to me a few minutes before a meeting. So.
So now we're on that subject.
You're flashing already.
Now you jumped right into it, too. I like it.
That's all right.
Assembly.
Yeah.
You running?
Have you
submitted your letter to the committee? Or?
I have talked to the all the committee leaders, the chair people of all the committees that I'm interested in screening in front of, and... with that, we're going forward with this. I can't say 95% sure yet, but there's a lot of concerns I have with the way things are going right now. First off, Ms. DeStito has put in and said that she's getting this other job. That's great, but okay, it's time to get her and put this put her job in to the Senate, to the Assembly, to get her confirmed.
And that's not scheduled yet.
It's not scheduled yet. Further than that, this was going to be something that was going to be a race or an election that would probably be held sometime in May. There are some people who are actually saying this would be happening at the same time the school board elections are held. That's changed now because they've changed the rules to mirror the federal regulations, which is instead of having it 30 to 40 days after a special election is called, now it's 70 to 80 days after a special election is called, which, again, I agree with that because, you should have the right, if you're overseas and you're fighting for this country, you should have the right to vote in any sort of election that goes
absolutely
on here. And have your voice heard. Now, the problem with that is that that pushes it off now by the time they actually get through letting her vote on the tough votes.
So that way the
new person who would come in wouldn't be stigmatized with some of these votes that are going to go up that are going to be difficult votes mm-hmm. to make. But again, that's part of being in government. Part of doing the
right
job is making those tough votes. Now, let her make those tough votes. She leaves, gets the other job, which is, good for her. That's terrific. But he's going to push that election off 70 to 80 days until mid-July. Now, the interesting thing is the governor doesn't have to call a special election. So he may see, in the interest of saving money for local communities, that he will hold the special election during the general election time in November.
So we would be without an assembly.
We would be without a representative. And not only us, but there's three other assembly districts, I believe, also throughout New York State that have this same problem. And I think they've called for the special election in the congressional district where – the Craigslist congressman was out in the western part of New York, but I think that's a sad commentary that you could go that long. And they'll make the comment that it's during the summertime, it's recess anyway. It's that, but nonetheless.
Nonetheless, it's
too bad.
What it is too is that people that are running for local like the mayor of Utica have to get petitions.
Right.
So. That cuts into their – because if – to me, it's a mess.
Well, right now, one of the people who's out there purporting that he wants this assembly job also is Dave Raffaro.
We had Dave in Monday. He said that he's definitely looking into applying and sitting in front of the council for the seat. I've heard from various sources – I'm not going to name names – that it's a done deal. That Dave Raffaro will be running for assembly.
Yeah.
I've heard it from multiple people. I can't get Dave to confirm it, but, he's the politician. I'm hearing it's going to be a rematch between Dave Raffaro and Tim Julian.
It's like Rocky too.
It's Rocky too. You're Apollo Creed. He's Rocky, I guess, right now. Or
oh,
is
no,
it
I
the
think,
other
I,
way?
No, I think Apollo won the first
yeah,
one, so
yeah,
I think Rocky
right.
won the second one.
Yeah.
Like
so how do you feel? How do you feel about running again against an opponent that you already ran against and lost?
Well, look, I think that in retrospect, the 7.5 years I spent as mayor of the city of Utica is looked upon a lot more favorably now than it was during the last
it
part
seems
of my
like
term.
That. It's like Nixon. When he died, everybody loved him.
Yeah. Oh, well, sure.
They all got up and he spoke at his funeral.
The old song, Don't Know What You Got Till
yeah.
It's Gone, right? Interestingly, one of my major detractors at that particular time was Dave Ruffaro, who liked to say that, you know, it's easy to throw stones from the cheap seats and things like that. Now that's his favorite saying, it's easy to throw stones from the cheap seats.
He was a council member, too.
He was a council member.
Okay, as you, in your
right,
tenure.
Right. Right. And you know, I think that since that time and his now 3 years, 3 months as mayor, I think people have seen a different side of Dave Ruffaro and seen, one of the things I was very cognizant of was pointing out the record of showing up and doing the job mm-hmm. and again, making sometimes an unpopular decision, but making a decision nonetheless, whether it was popular or unpopular. And with that, you get some criticism for that. But I think it's important that you do actually make informed decisions and know enough about your subjects to talk about what you're talking about and make people understand what you're talking about. You know, this library is a perfect example of that. To come in at the last minute and to chop the library like that, I think is a very difficult decision. I mean, you talk about where things could be cut, and say, hey, geez, we could cut the pothole killer.
Right.
And I mean, yesterday on a different radio station, I heard what could only be called as a commercial for the pothole killer.
Hear that here, I'll tell you that.
But I'm thinking to myself, did they actually pay for this? And I think that'd be an interesting thing to find out. Are they actually taking out ads to bolster the reputation of Dave Ruffaro right now on the city's dime for something as benign and useless as what I consider the pothole killer? And I think the thing actually truly makes a mess.
I've seen it firsthand.
The pothole killer or something. I mean, they used it in front of my house last year on the corner. And what a...
Oh, okay. Their radios are okay. So make sure you turn your radios down, folks, if you want to get in and talk to Tim.
You know, what a terrible mess. Let's go one step further. Let's take the J.K. Hage bill out of the equation. Let's take that $350,000 or whatever it is today for a report that could have been done free by HUD.
And you were
HUD.
You were named in the report.
I was named in the report.
And
yes.
that's got to rankle your cause some.
Well, look, and this is something that's going to come back around full circle. I think now with the incidents in Japan and these nuclear power plants having the problems that they're having is the fact that one of the things that we were looked at quite a bit was the fact that when the NYRI came through, the Indian Point power plant was something that I always said was going to be closed down. And that's what they were trying to do with the NYRI power line, was Indian Point was going to be closed down by it. Now, NYRI was brought into this area by, whether he wants to admit it or not, J.K. Hage. I remember I was at the first meeting. J.K. Hage was there. I said, what are you doing? He said, this is nothing I couldn't have done for you. What he meant by that, I have no idea. So at one meeting, I gave out J.K. Hage's business and home number and said, if you people have a problem with this project, here's the guy who brought it into this area. Well, J.K. Hage was quite upset about that.
I can imagine.
You can imagine. But the thing is, if you're gonna pay me several million dollars for something, at least take the bad phone calls for it. Because I was out there doing, taking the heat for this project, not for it, but going out there working with people.
You were probably the most accessible mayor I've ever seen.
Well, I think that's the mayor's job.
Yeah,
it's your job to be accessible. It's your job to be out there amongst the people and making yourself. Making the citizens and the constituency feel as though they're part of something.
Mm-hmm.
Without them feeling as though they're part of something, then you're going to have that disinvestment that you really don't want to have. So, with that, I think J.K. Hage has a long time had a real axe to grind with me. And hey, fine, that's great. I have no problem with that. Again, like I say, if I was making several million dollars off of a project, some bad phone calls wouldn't ruin my day.
Yeah.
But for him, he was quite offended by that. Quite offended by that. And again, if you're going to play, you have to pay. And I think that's the whole thing with that. So since that time, I think he's always had an issue with myself. He took the opportunity to take a shot at me in that report. I think it was unfair shot at the very, very least. Nonetheless, that's the job that I was in. That's the job I chose. He took it. Whether it was illegal what he did or not, I think that's still up for interpretation. And I think I'd be more than willing to try to test that interpretation.
How so? How would it be?
Well, there are certain things that they can look at and say that, because I was a public official, the people's opportunities for free speech against you are greater.
Yes.
They can say, oh, he's a crook. Oh, he's this. Oh,
sure.
He's that.
Which, if you read the internet, they've been saying it.
They've said it about anybody and everybody.
Everybody,
who's been in any office at any given time.
Yeah.
And with that, I think that the interpretation as such is there was a court case, I think it was Sullivan versus the New York Times, where they said that because you're a public official, there is a wider berth of what they can say about you interpretively. That being said, it doesn't take out the fact that if there is malice involved.
Mm-hmm.
Given the set of circumstances I just talked about, with J.K. Hage having a true axe to grind with me, I think that there is truly malice involved there. So I think that's where that gray area lines up. And I think that's where Mr. Hage may have some problems if he and I should meet each other in a court of law. And I think that's something that, frankly speaking, I think it was a cowardly act on his part. I think it was something that, it was put forth by some of my detractors who are in City Hall and who were formerly in City Hall. And, I think it's too bad. It's too bad. It's too bad that it cost the city taxpayers the amount of money it cost them. And really, if you read the report, there was never any time that anything I ever did ever put any federal money in jeopardy.
Now,
it's the present administration and their employees.
Are we going to get another report? There's rumors that the federal government's looking into this whole investigation. Are we going to get another report on Grow West other than J.K. Hage's?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
I have no idea.
Interesting. Former Utica Mayor Tim Julian. Let's see. This guy keeps hanging up on me. He just wants to throw me off my game, Tim. That's what it is.
Nah, he's got to try harder than that.
Well, listen, Tim, it's going to be very interesting come this assembly seat run. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward. I really am.
You know, it will be interesting. I mean, the things you do notice is, the present mayor is all of a sudden out and about in the community more than he was in the last 3 years.
This is bringing me, I'm sorry to cut you off, but.
Not at all. It's your show.
Yeah, you're right. I can shut your microphone off.
It's the Mark Pierce show. It's not the Julian show.
Although, tomorrow I want to kind of sleep it if you want to stop in. But the mayor's taken his pay cut, and the common council has taken a pay cut.
Interesting, the mayor's pay cut is what I was making back when I was there. He gave himself a raise when he got in.
So you were making far less than what he's making now? Is that
I would call it far less.
So it's about the $5,000 difference that it is?
Yeah.
How do you view that? How do you think the common person out there views this symbolic cut?
You know, in an area where the average salary is about $23,000 a year.
I'll interrupt you again. He said he's the first mayor in the history of Utica to cut his own pay.
I
work for a dollar.
But I think he's also the first part-time mayor in the city's history also. I mean, he's certainly... It's been no stranger to his personal business, his funeral home. I think everyone realizes that. Look, that's his business. That's what he wants to do. And I think that's something that has to be pointed out. I mean, there is not a lot of times that you will not see a funeral procession coming from his funeral home that he's not leading that car. He's not in that lead car driving around on our time. And I think that's something that's important.
Safer Grant. For it, against it, don't care.
Well, I think it's problematic. It puts a built-in hole in the city budget. I mean, basically, he is purportedly put out the city budget with a 3.19% or whatever it is tax increase and said, okay, the only way this can be kept this low is if all the unions agree to a 0% tax increase. And without that 0% tax increase, we have to cut positions.
Right.
When you take a grant like that, you are guaranteeing those positions not to be cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you have taken that ability to cut.
Yeah.
Off the table.
Now, and Councilman Becerra said the same thing, that you're kind of making the fire department immune in to cuts.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, the police department got their own grant to put, I don't know, 8 officers on the street, and I don't think that's happened yet.
Well, interestingly, and if you figure out and do the math, here's what is it, a million-dollar grant for 8 firefighters for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, you retire... You have the ability to retire after 20 years in the police or the fire department. Who's picking up the tab the next 18 years? And if that's the case, isn't that at least $9 million more
Right.
And if that's the case, where's that money coming from? And I think that that's the thing, is that that's coming from the citizenry of the city of Utica. Now, they talk about callback and replacement overtime and things like that. But understand, when you're paying the fire department overtime, generally you're paying them straight time overtime.
Right.
You're not paying them time and a half. You're not paying them these other numbers. And when you're doing that, you're also bringing them back. You're not paying for extra benefits for them at that particular time. You're not paying for extra health insurance. Yeah, you'll pay the 19 or 20% or so on top of that for the pension costs. So whatever the callback overtime is on that, you'll pay your pension differential.
Right.
But you won't pay for a health insurance for another member. Right now, we'd be paying for health insurance for 8 new members of the fire department. And that's costly. That's a costly, costly number. And that's a cost, you know, if someone gets on when they're 20 years old, that's a cost for 45 years the city takes on.
Well, Tim, it's always a pleasure having you, and it's always eventful. I love it when you come in because...
I can't believe we got no calls. I mean,
We got calls. They just kept on hanging up on me.
Well, it's because they don't like your face.
No. they don't like your face. Thanks. So you're 95% sure that you will be running for assembly?
Yeah. I think
in a nutshell, we'll wrap up our conversation with a little summary.
I think what's problematic about it now is it seems as though the Democratic Party of New York State is playing games with this position to the detriment of this area. And
I think
what they're trying to do is they're going to try to put someone in place and give them as much time as possible. I think they're waiting to see who the opponent's going to be before they say, well, okay, we're going to call this election at this particular time, or we're going to call the election at this particular time. And I think that's sad. It's a sad commentary on some of the things that are going on. Because I think what this area needs right now is it needs strong representation. And I assure you, just like Joe Bruno a few years back did not want to see me walk into that Senate,
I
will assure you that Shelley Silver does not want to see me walk onto that assembly floor. And if you think the New York State Assembly is one of the biggest problems New York State has because of people like Shelley Silver, and I assure you that's what I do. I do believe that this is a major, major problem. And this is one of the things that are happening that are wrong in New York State and why we have some of the problems that we do have. Then, you know, obviously... this is something that could be remedied by sending the right person down there. And when you think New York State is a state that spends too much, taxes too much, obviously you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something different to happen. And if you send another rubber stamp down to Albany to stand there and you know, I mean, ask yourself, who would you rather have fighting for this area in Albany? Someone who is there to collect a paycheck and walk out the door like they've done the last 3.5 years in City Hall, or someone who was shown a ability and a desire to truly fight for this area, to put out a sane and sensible argument and say, hey, look, this is what we need. This is what we have to have. And I think that, you know, that's what's going to lead this area back. You know, a roundabout is not going to lead this area back. You know, a $2 million bridge closure that could be built with the roundabout money, that supported many businesses and many people who were feeding their families.
Barnes Ave. Yep.
Exactly. You know, I mean, when you close down that area, I mean, you just did, you know, immense damage to the local economy. And unfortunately, because it's not an area where it has people with high incomes, again, you know, when you talk about, you know, where the mayor took a 5% pay cut, well, you know, for someone who's making $80,000 to take a 5% pay cut, you know, to the average person in this area who makes $23,000 a year, it's still way too much.
Yeah.
It's still way too much. So, not a rich area. And we need to take and support things like these jobs in Barnes Ave, like the businesses over there that keep people's cars running when no place else can, like the public library that allows people to go in and search for jobs and work on the computers and use internet access they can't afford at their own homes. I mean, these places are the equalizers that keep our area equal to other areas that are making more money, and that's what we need to keep. We need to keep this area equal and on the same footing and grow it from there. We can't allow ourselves to retract any more than we have.
Excellent. That was former Utica Mayor Tim Julian. Tim, thank you. And the door is always open for you, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.